1. St. George's Day, 6:19. If you get piss away stupid at their say, the majority of the candidates today might actually stand a chance against you. Edlin Furch Iago bit back a squeak of laughter at Vidog's unexpected words. Shh! You get me into enough trouble as it is. Merely the size of her index finger, he looked up at her with a cocked, innocent brow. Can't help it if the rest of those wankers are too dim-witted to see your ebullience right before them. Walking along the edge of the shoddy, worn sill, he mocked the village voices they could overhear passing by her open window, making faces and rude gestures to go along with their innocuous conversations. It was all she could do not to burst into laughter. Stop it, or I shall force you back into your bottle. He snorted dismissively. As if that's a threat. I like my bottle. Much better than being out here with all these. He glanced out the window to the street and wrinkled his nose. People. With a fierce shudder, he sat down on the edge to eye her with an expression of even greater distaste. A light breeze fluttered his golden, gossamer wings. Why are you dressed like that again?
St. George's Day?
Virag released a long, tired sigh. This year went fast. So, what are your plans for being unacceptable to the dragons this time? Biting her lip, she stepped forward and revealed a small vial she'd purchased from the old witch woman who lived on the edge of the forest. She held it out toward him.
'Tis the scent of rotted bear guts.
He let out a fierce sound of protest before he fell back and kerplunked on the sill.
That would do it, he choked between gasps for air. Yeah, please, bathe that off your skin before tonight. My eyes are watering, burning too.
Crossing his eyes, he stuck his tongue out and feigned a dying pose that left one arm and leg dangling off the edge as he continued to sputter and gasp. Edlin laughed at her half-brother and his antics. It was hard to take him seriously in his natural state of a gold-skinned, golden-haired, and eyed winged sprite. Like this, he was ethereally beautiful, and a far cry from the terrifying, dark shadow beast she knew he could transform into.
What kind of pixie are you?
Not a pixie,
he snarled indignantly as he kicked his fur-covered legs at her.
Kikamora. Sheesh. Inhaling those fumes has already addled your noggin. Any more and you'll be as daft as those lockwits outside.
She snorted at him.
Like you don't smell worse than that on a regular basis.
He laughed.
Only when I'm drunk on elderberries or mulberries or...
He paused to consider the truth of her accusation.
Well, you might have a point.
Sitting up, he bent his knee and propped his whiskered chin on it to watch her while she finished belting on her mismatched costume. He was devilishly handsome, with his short, spiked hair and angular features. But it was his personality and the way he always looked after her that made her love him best. Since the day he'd magically appeared in her room 3 days after the death of her father, she'd been hopelessly devoted to her older brother. There was nothing she wouldn't do for him. Not that he needed her help, given the depths of his godlike powers. Honestly, she had no idea why he'd come to her or why he stayed. She liked to think that he loved her, but the tales said that his kind were incapable of feeling such things. Immortal nightmare spirits were supposed to be devoid of any tender emotions whatsoever. Rather, they were self-serving, vain creatures who used human weaknesses to prey on others, to manipulate humans for the gods and higher powers they were enslaved to or had bartered with. Yet, in spite of his random, surly threats, he remained by her side, ever loyal, ever caring, and even kind to her. He was just like their mother, who'd been as full-blooded a Kikamora as he was. Only her mother had made a pact and given up her immortal life to become human so that she could marry Edlin's father.